Outside, but it is heating up in here.
Oh, so warm.
I am Ignatius Belfox.
I am the Low Spark, and a cup of mint tea.
Ooh.
It's very good.
How festive. How are you feeling these days there, Sparky?
Musical.
Musical, that's good.
Well.
Considering, you know. It's the name of our show. Mostly.
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 Mostly music.
Although, you know, this time of year, I'm usually thinking about movies. But we'll get into that later.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get into that later. We got a lot of thoughtful, concerned, loyal listeners in the fan base that are, you know, always asking about the health and well-being of...
The spark?
The spark of the show. You sound good. You sound better.
Yeah. You little know, by little. Gains. Right. A little less weight, a little more gains.
A little bit more. Let's get that microphone up a little tiny bit if you can.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, well, that's good, man. You sound.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. Sound good.
Yeah. Almost up to speed. Almost.
Almost. Well,
long road.
We're all a work in progress, I would say.
Yeah. No more work for this guy.
Sexual escapade / vigilantism / crypto
saving my community. No, man, it's just got a new 9-to-5-er, dealing with my own shit, perpetuating community, personal wealth, diving into old shit, new shit, musically, media wise, is every day's a race. It's great, dude. it's been a good hustle the past 4 months, man. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I can think clearly now. I'm no longer clouded by.
Yeah, you were in a bit of a coma fog last time, if I remember
it was
correctly.
Bad. Every day gets better. Yep. Every day gets better.
Yeah.
It's hard to put your thoughts, memories, and ideas together when you're still coming off of hard drugs.
Yeah. Now, will this be like the deadheads of the 60s and 70s having acid flashbacks 20, 30 years later? Are you going to have a coma flashback? The trauma, in a sense, of like a seriously deep, hard trip? I don't like to say bad trip, but it sounded like it was kind of like that maybe last time.
It sucked because... Thinking back on it through a little bit of therapy, I was able to tap into the fact that I suffered a few near-death experiences in the course of 3 weeks.
That's, pretty dramatic. Yeah.
And remembering the dreams is the hardest part.
But maybe sometimes it's best to forget.
Set to a soundtrack.
I was going to say, it's the one thing that I'm assuming brought you back. And kept you in.
It did.
Perhaps was the music.
Yeah, it is. Sometimes you outgrow yourself.
Yeah. I wanted to do a Thanksgiving episode because I always just want to inject the band into the entire episode because The Last Waltz, possibly the greatest music documentary of all time, with the exception of perhaps a new one that we'll get into a little bit later.
Okay.
Always permeates my mind during Thanksgiving because The Last Waltz was filmed on Thanksgiving Day at the Winterland, which is now the Fillmore in San Francisco.
Not Winterland Ballroom?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the chandeliers and everything. They're all still there.
I think Winterland closed.
No, yeah. When it's called the Fillmore now, you know. That's the same. That's the building.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yes. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Because I'm thinking they
closed. I don't know much, but I do know.
The Winterland because someone OD'd. If I remember correctly.
It was Bill Graham's spot.
Yeah, Billy yeah. Graham. Well, Bill Graham. Well,
not owned. Billy Graham. That's a different.
Well, Bill Graham owned a lot of musical shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He was the guy. He was the guy behind the guy for, you know, the entirety of the 60s.
Died in a car accident or helicopter accident?
That I don't know.
He died in a vehicle, either helicopter or car.
That's the big bopper.
Going to Civic Center for a show.
Really?
And then with
Bill Graham Auditorium is now at Civic Center, right?
Yeah, he was. Who was he with? The guitarist, the famous guy.
You're talking about Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Stevie Ray Vaughan.
He was in the helicopter with them.
I think so. Look it up.
How come I don't know that? That's amazing. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Helicopter crash.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Jeez, that's nuts, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how they died. They were buddies.
That's crazy. Yeah, that's helicopter. I mean, you know, lost a few great ones from the helicopter crash. What's going on with the helicopters?
Kobe.
Yeah, well, that's the most recent. Yeah.
All the guys in Platoon.
What?
The movie.
What do you mean?
Oh, no, they survived.
Martin Sheen's still alive.
Charlie Sheen's still alive.
Okay. Willem Dafoe's still got it.
Willem Dafoe got it. He didn't make it to the chopper. Anyways, music.
Yeah, well, so, but anyway, yeah. You know,
I digress.
Yeah. It's the one through line. But, you know, yeah, this year, I don't know. I feel like I was watching a lot of movies. I always watch a lot of movies. But this generally seems to be the time of the year that we do our movie episode. Not that this necessarily is, but, you know, it's kind of the season. And this was brought to my attention by a loyal listener that this is our 5-year anniversary this month.
It is.
2016.
It's crazy. It all started with an argument. And I still stand to this day.
It started with a few arguments, I think. Neil Diamond, Tom Waits, you know, Beatles solo stuff.
Which, how to butter bread properly.
How to make clarified butter properly.
No. Yeah, right.
Butter bread. Baby.
Do you even exist? One of the greatest quotes anyone's ever threw at me.
That was the turnaround.
Yeah, we looked at each other and we just laughed. We're like, dude, it got that serious over buttering bread. And we tried to talk about taste in music. It created something.
It's true. That lasted a long time. And, you know, we've both come around to certain things. I remember one time you said Primer is one of the stupidest movies ever made.
Yeah.
And now, I believe, maybe it was on the last episode, you were talking about how good it was. I've similarly, come around to Neil Diamond to an extent, but not Sweet Caroline too far.
Well, it hurts because it's baseball related.
Apologize to all the Massachusetts and New England listeners out there, but the longtime listeners understand that, you know, I don't care too much about sports, but I do revere baseball and the Red Sox. I can never.
Well, baseball isn't a sport. It's a pastime.
It's a pastime. It is our pastime. Yeah. It's the greatest outdoor game ever invented by man. Yeah. Although I wasn't around at the time of the Mayans when they played soccer with human heads. That was probably pretty interesting. Pretty
Apocalypto too.
You ready for that?
Oh, well, Mel Gibson has my attention.
I wanted to hate that movie when it came out. It was pretty damn good, man. That fucking guy can make a movie.
He can make a fucking movie.
He's soulless.
Mad Max.
But, geez.
Well. Mad Max, bro. 2 men enter, 1 man leave.
Braveheart.
Yeah.
I love you. Always have.
Oh, hashtag freedom. So, soundtracks.
Soundtracks.
I've been digging into my crate box of films with a new friend that doesn't really watch a lot of TV, which is perfect for movie nights.
Oh, yeah. Everything's new.
When you have people over watching movies, and it's an event, and you're going to marathon some shit, and you play a movie, and you realize, that's that track. And you go back, and you look into it, and it's made the past few months amazing. I need to revisit some old shit this episode.
Oh, yeah.
I'll let you go first.
Oh, well. You know, I that's the thing. I didn't know how to start. I wasn't exactly sure. I thought we were going to start perhaps with the new Beatles documentary because I figured that would take up a big chunk.
Yeah, it's a whole fucking... Yeah, I know. Dude, I know. Lot of tears, no fears.
Pretty amazing. Wow. Maybe we should just jump right into it.
Because, let's do it, bro. That changed my life.
It counts as a movie, even though it's technically an epic.
I forgot about COVID for about 8 hours because of this documentary.
Yeah, pretty awesome. Peter Jackson is the only man in the last 4-something decades to have complete access to this, you know, hundreds of hours of film and audio that's never been heard, you know.
Yeah.
We're talking, of course, about the Get Back 3-part saga of January of 1969. The Beatles get put in a studio in Twickenham, England.
Yeah.
Some giant and monstrosity of a studio.
For Post.
That was, no, that was
in Climax.
Because that giant studio was just way too cavernous. And
yeah.
To film them while they create, essentially from thin air, their next and which would ultimately become their last album.
That's where they decided to break up, where Georgie walked off.
Well, so, yeah. And you see that. And so they made the movie Let It Be, right? The film from, which is very compromised, and it's not that great. Considering, and probably nobody will ever watch it again after that. After this has come out, and because this is a very, you're essentially just hanging out with the Beatles. It's really,
You see the side glances and the
everything, all the
hate,
bickering. Well, and that's the thing. You see, I was going into it expecting just pure drama, drama.
You see the beauty, of growth with each other as artists
because they've all been in it together for so long. They essentially can finish each other's thoughts. I mean, Paul and John definitely, but George maybe even more so than all of them, because he's always kind of playing second fiddle to those two guys.
And it's because he's the baby,
kind of.
Yeah. He's the youngest one.
Yeah,
he's always been treated that way. But for me,
even though he was there before Ringo, which is interesting.
Yeah,
it's an interesting dynamic.
In actual John and Paul, numerical age.
Yeah.
But he's technically one of the biggest geniuses in the room.
I think so.
Yeah.
He was always my favorite.
But the way Paul... I fucking hate you, Paul McCartney. You cocksucker. But that motherfucker can write a song, dude.
He just pulls it out. Yeah, I know. Yeah. You know, he's a... Paul has twerp-like qualities throughout, but... Yeah, I'll be damned if that guy can't just pull out a song just out of thin air and just get it going.
And I've come to a new conclusion. Paul was in love with Yoko and George hated her.
Yeah, George. So that's interesting. So, okay. So there's there's the famous quote unquote split up of the Beatles. And this is essentially when George left. And now we kind of know why.
Yeah.
I mean, at least according to, you know, different biographies and stuff that I've read during those interview. I mean, so George leaves in about the first or second week. They have 4 weeks essentially to write this whole album, and then they're supposed to have a live concert at the end of it. George leaves about a week and a half in because he's just kind of pissed. And then they go to his house, and this isn't in the movie. They don't have footage of this, but John, Paul, Ringo go to George's house right in the country and try to convince him. It doesn't work out. But they don't really talk about it. But supposedly what happened is that George was pissed that Yoko not only was always in the room, which she was, but she sat on his amp. And she would sit on his amp for long periods of time. And, you know, as a guitarist myself and, you know, the limited time I've had at studios or whatever, you know, you don't want to be bothered by anybody. You know, you're in a groove.
Yeah.
You're in a and if somebody
you have your method.
And your amp is an extension of you. And especially for George, who really only played guitar. You know, John would play guitar, rhythm, and he played, you know, piano and stuff. Paul would play drums sometimes and bass, yeah, sometimes but... guitar. But George is the guitarist, you know, and there's something about that. So that was really interesting to see all that. But it all kind of, you know, in my mind, and I think in the collective consciousness of Beatles fans, it seemed like there was a lot more acrimony there than there actually was. It didn't seem like they were really fighting. It seemed like Paul was just being a bit of a twat.
Yeah.
And didn't know how to talk to George or to anybody properly. And John already kind of knows Paul's like that. But George, I think, just kind of got fed up.
I like Paul to the way I like Steve Jobs.
You know? Yeah. He knows what he wants.
He controls the symphony.
Kind of, yeah.
He creates melody with his friends. And you add in a second tier violinist to the ambiance, you're going to make a different album.
But George isn't a second tier.
No, musician. Yoko is.
Oh, Yoko. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. You know, I don't hate she's Yoko. Sitting, like, I don't
in Whiplash, she's sitting in the back chair of the drummer.
Yeah.
You know?
It is strange. It is very strange. So when they're at this Twickenham studio, it's this giant place. It's way too big. And you could tell they're all trying to just insulate themselves by sitting in a small circle. And Yoko is just always there. And then I think, you know, then
it's very uncomfortable.
There's a moment where, you know, George brings in like one or two of his Hare Krishnas and just sort of sit in the corner. You know what? If you're going to bring him, I'm going to bring him kind of thing.
It's all really okay. So I read cinematographic nuance as side glance. I'm a bartender, you know, at heart. I read the crowd and I read your face as I speak. And Yoko does not like the attention being pulled away. When Paul brings his daughter and the daughter gets attention, Yoko's very jealous.
I mean, like, I would like to think that that's not true.
It's true.
But you,
one,
her face kind
either of... because she doesn't have a child by John yet, or two, because she is a child and doesn't like having the attention pulled away.
And she's pretty much always the only female in the room as
That's right. And then Paul has to bring his wife.
Right.
And
yeah.
George has to bring a Hare Krishna to just diffuse, you know.
Oh, it's so good.
And Ringo just sits back.
He doesn't say anything.
I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah. He doesn't. I swear to you, I don't think he speaks until... like the second episode, like, or the third even.
So George and Ringo write by Frank Sinatra's standard. What does he write?
What do you mean? Like big band
something.
Stuff?
Frank says that,
I love that song. Yeah.
Is the greatest love song ever written.
Yeah. It's amazing because you see George working on it right
and
there.
You see Paul finish it. And that's the beauty.
Yeah.
Of that melody of the Beatles.
You know, people always ask, like, especially at the bar and stuff, what's the greatest band of all time, right? And it's hard to...
What's the greatest band you don't want to be?
Well, okay, so I always think of it as, you know, you can't really say what's the greatest band, but I guess you could say who's your favorite band, because what's the greatest band of all time? It's really hard not to give it to the Beatles because there are no holes there. Yeah. There might be bands as good, but I can't possibly think of a band that's better. And when you see...
Radiohead, Smiths, The Cure.
Radiohead is definitely for longevity. Yeah. Smiths and Cure didn't have the range that the Beatles had. Didn't have the evolution, necessarily, that the Beatles have had. Radiohead has had a big evolution.
It does within a certain, like, that's just because of their fan base. But Beatles just covers all points of the checkerboard. Yeah. They sink all battleships.
Yeah. It's really interesting when you, when they, you know, sort of toward the end of this documentary, when the, you know, the famous scene of them on the roof playing, and they're interviewing not them, but, you know, the cameramen, they have like 10 cameramen. Oh, yeah. And some of them are interviewing man on the street, you know, the crowd on the street. And it's really interesting to see, because they ask him, oh, do you like what you're hearing? Oh, do you like the Beatles? Stuff like that.
The fan base range.
Yeah. Some of like the young, like younger, like sort of, you know, yuppies. I mean, didn't exist back then, but, you know, like the young urban professionals, some of them say, oh, no, I don't care for the Beatles or whatever.
Yeah.
But then they'll interview some like old man who you would think would hate them. And he's like, oh, I love them. You know, everything they do is great. You can't deny them. And it's like
English pride.
Yeah.
Couple of Cockney voice fucking Liverpoolians, dude.
But, you know, that's the thing. If you don't like Magical Mystery Tour, you could still get behind Rubber Soul.
That's right.
Or Revolver, you know, or Let It Be, for that matter. And that's why, you know, Let It Be is really interesting of an album, because there's, well, Let It Be. There's like the sort of ballady songs, the more pop songs. But then, you know, the George songs are so good, man. I love For You Blue. I love that song. And I kind of forgot about that song, honestly, you know, because I grew up listening to the Beatles. And when you're in your teens and 20s, you listen to the Beatles like nonstop because you're just trying to absorb.
Every song you hear is a fucking single.
Everything's a hit. So I was going to see if you wanted to play a track. Well, because Peter Jackson called the documentary Get Back, because there's that scene where Paul essentially just writes Get Back out of thin air. He's just...
Yeah.
He might have had like a bass line that maybe he had come up with already or something, but you could tell he doesn't know what the song is yet. And then George is standing there, and they're kind of arguing beforehand, but all of a sudden Paul just starts playing that, and then boom, George just goes right into it, and he gets it, and now boom, there's a song. It's really crazy, because you could tell the hard feelings between George and Paul, but as a band, when they start playing... And, you know, your differences aside, when you hear a good melody, you hear a good tune, you're in it. If you're a musician, right? Like, you're, oh, okay, let's figure this out. You know, it's really interesting. I don't know. I wasn't going to play Get Back. I was going to play For You Blue because I love George.
Yeah, and, let's do it.
I guess we can get into it, because it's such a weird album. There's so many, there's like blues songs, there's country songs.
There's a lot of Delta in that fucking album, man.
This is For You Blue by the Beatles.
Because you're sweet and lovely, girl, I love you. Because you're sweet and lovely, girl, it's true. I love you more than ever, girl, I do. I want you in the morning, girl, I love you. I want you at the moment I feel blue. I'm living every moment, girl.
Kid and I didn't really know, I always gravitated toward those. You know, it's funny, I think there's even a moment in, so they're at Twickenham Studios, it's this giant studio, they're not really getting much done. George leaves, it's kind of like a big deal. So then they move to Apple Studios, which is still new. Yeah. They haven't even really fully developed it yet. But once they get in there, you could tell it's a lot more. I don't know. They're a lot more shared brain kind of thing going on there, you know. But there's even a moment where they're kind of still fighting, and you know, I think it was Paul again. It's like, you know, George is playing All Things Must Pass. Like he hasn't written that yet, but it's coming out. You know, it's like he's playing it, and then Paul says something like, "Oh, that kind of sounds like the band." Almost like sneering, yeah, but like, yeah. You know, but then, you know, but for George, it's like, you know, George is like, yeah, I'm hanging out in Woodstock with Dylan and the band and Clapton, and everybody thinks I'm fucking amazing. And then I come into this room and I'm just the third fiddle or whatever, you know, it's such a weird dynamic. It's like, yeah, you're welcome. It sounds like the band. Yeah, this is amazing. I'm being influenced by everybody. You know, it's just such a weird, it's really crazy.
It's interesting though too, the way you see John's just a kid.
Yeah,
that but you can, you know, he's dancing, prancing around with these weird political ideas and a weird Asian. I love Yoko. In my ears, I've learned to love Yoko and the Plastic Ono band.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Their son Sean, you know.
Yeah,
and. But I always quote Ringo's the greatest drummer in pop music, you know?
Yeah, it's hard to argue.
It's oh no, there's no argument. Without, they look to him. If you look at the cinematography, they look to him to set up the basis of the melody.
Yeah.
He frames the song.
George Martin said something like, the Beatles may do 40 takes on one song, but it's never because of Ringo. They never have to do another take because of Ringo.
George Martin's presence, that.
Yeah. Well, it's really interesting because...
they recorded this after Brian's death.
Yeah, Brian Epstein just died. And so you could tell that the Beatles, they've never not been with him. And so they're kind of like kids, like when there's a substitute teacher. You know, they're just a little bit more rambunctious, a little bit wild. They're not a lot of control. And they kind of needed that. And so Paul, you know, kind of taskmaster trying to fill that void. But you could tell that it's, even with John, even though they respect each other immensely, John wants to kind of be like, oh, what time are we coming back tomorrow? Okay, well, I have a medical or whatever, you know, I have to go to the dentist or something. It's so,
yeah.
It's so crazy. It's like, what are you, like, you guys are making magic here. But
you even see their deepest fears. Like, Paul does not like hearing about Brian Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
If you even mention Pet Sounds, he gets triggered hard. Because he knows, without Pet Sounds, there is no fucking Sergeant Peppers.
Yeah.
It's, I'm going to go back and watch it again.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. It's not, you know, might not be for the casual Beatles fan, but for the real, or even just the hardcore music fan, it's incredible because you really... There's nothing I've ever seen like it that you can see. You could sit in the room and watch a band create songs. It's almost impossible. I mean, I honestly felt bad for the entire first episode I'm watching this. I'm like, we shouldn't be here. There shouldn't be cameras.
It was very intimate. Yeah.
This is a very intimate moment. And if you've ever been in a band, you understand that. Like, you don't want to hear anybody. I mean, you don't want anybody in the room to hear you guys work on a song. It's kind of like a stand-up comedy bit. Like, it's bad until it's good.
Yeah.
There's never a point where it's okay. It's just bad, and then you figure it out, and then that's what people hear is the good stuff. You don't want
the hammered out approach.
Yeah, yeah. You don't want
to.
You don't.
It's like listening to a comic create his jokes.
Yeah.
In the end, the punchline's not going to work on you.
Yeah, if you've heard the whole, if you've heard him trying to get there,
yeah,
it's not going to have the same effect. Yeah.
If you don't realize, it's like a comic. You go to their show. If you go to their next show. It's the same fucking show.
Right.
No, they don't create shit off the top of their head.
No.
That's a hammered out product.
Yeah, they make you think they are. That's
the
good one. Yeah,
that's the magic. Yeah. That's the magic.
And the same thing with the band, you know. You don't necessarily want to hear new stuff when you go see a band. So sometimes you do. Like if it's, you know, an artist that you love and you know their entire catalog and you've heard it all a million times, maybe you would. Yeah. But most people just want to hear the hits, you know.
And I've been guilty of that. I don't want to hear this new shit. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, but okay. But I gotta just. I gotta just give one little love note to George's brown on black Telecaster that he's playing at Apple Studio.
Okay.
Holy God, dude. It's this rosewood
telly. Yeah.
Oh, it's just sex on a strap. It's just incredible. I want that guitar so bad.
I have a new artist so sexy. That literally is holding in his new music stuff, holding my dream guitar of
which is
the fuck is it called?
Electric or acoustic?
Metaled out acoustic of the
Dobro?
The fuck is it called?
A resonator?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be dope. I always wanted to run.
What was the brand called?
I mean, there's a few.
The one that's all metal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's just a resonator guitar. I don't know which one.
The one I was about to buy last year for $1,800.
Is it a Guild?
No.
Dobro?
Dobro.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Holding. Okay, we'll get into that later, but right now, I'm going to veer off of the Beatles. I want you to listen to this band, Redbone.
Leon Redbone? Oh.
And it's a weird band because you don't really know what they look like and what to expect, especially if you've never seen them. So let's play their song. It's Come and Get Your Love by Redbone. Redbone.
Love it.
I mean, everyone knows that track. It's one of a bunch of soundtracks.
Oh, yeah.
It's a bunch of Native Americans and Mexicans.
That's amazing.
Yeah. You didn't know that, right?
No, it sounds like Motown.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Exactly. So people forget Question Mark and Mysterians. What was his name? The guy that does the one that wears the fez and plays the organ. Anyways, Redbone, Native Americans, Yaqui Indians, bro, shaman. Really? There's a shaman in the band.
Wow.
He played one of the villains in the Superman movie. He's like Emperor Zod's, like the big guy, the big buff.
That's
awesome.
Guy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
He's a Yaqui Indian.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, I should know more about them.
No, it's like, you know, like, you hear the music, you hear the melody, the end product, but you never know who or what puts the work into it. And you know, someone like Ringo considered like the least unattractive person in the band.
He is quite unattractive.
But he, for me, he's also the most creative. And I saw Redbone playing. I'm like, oh yeah, they're a bunch of Native American Mexican dudes.
It's incredible.
And I sent the track to my brother. He's like, whoa, they're Indians? I'm like, yeah. He's like,
it's and just, like Mexican Americans too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, hence the name, the imagery, and the sound.
It's great. It's a great sound.
I don't know why it made me want to really play them today.
That's great. That's what this entire show is all about.
It's the basis of Root, you know.
Is it 70s?
Yeah. Circa. Shit. What? 70, right? 70.
70, 71, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 69 to the present. There we go. I love it. Reminds me kind of...
Oh, they still play. They play locally, too.
Supposedly, yeah. Maybe the State Fair or something.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of great bands at the, County Fair.
I've seen YMCA at the County Fair.
The Village People?
Yeah.
You saw them?
Yeah.
That's pretty rad. Man, I saw...
It's off, yeah.
Crosby, Stills, Nash. I saw Huey Lewis. I saw what's the Fly Like an Eagle? What's his name? Steve Miller. That was great. That was great. I saw a lot of great. I saw Weird Al.
Is it says Steve Miller? It's a
Steve Miller Band, right?
No.
Yeah.
Winwood.
No. Steve Winwood. That's your boy. Low Spark of High Heeled Boys, right?
Is it?
Traffic.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Traffic, Blind Faith.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only Clapton album that I really love.
Fuck Eric Clapton. They even shit on Eric Clapton during the documentary.
Well, kind of. They, you know, it is weird to see
how... You sound like Clapton.
No, or he's like, oh, well, yeah, Paul says something like, oh, well, if George quits, we'll just get Eric Clapton or something. Like, get the fuck out of here.
I fucking hate Eric Clapton. Fucking vanilla. So droll.
Bill Graham was killed in a helicopter crash, but not with Stevie Ray.
Oh, who's he?
But it was around the same time. It was around, you know, it was in 1981.
I get confused.
No, it's funny because it made me remember Huey Lewis. He, Bill Graham died in a helicopter crash west of Vallejo. 1991, while returning home from a Huey Lewis in the News concert at the Concord Pavilion.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy.
Who's he with?
His girlfriend at the time and his quote unquote advance man, Steve Kahn. Yeah.
Huh.
And the pilot. But apparently, it was the charred remains of the helicopter remained hung in the tower for more than a day. It was a.
Fuck.
It was some, I don't know, power tower or something.
Yeah, man.
High voltage tower.
If it wasn't for Bill Graham.
Oh, man. See, insert everything here. I mean, yeah. It's incredible. Just the venue and, or venues, you know, Fillmore East, obviously in New York. And, I mean, so many amazing live albums were there. I mean, he discovered essentially so many people. And, oh, yeah. He's a.
You sure Winterland Ballroom, the original? It was on Van Ness.
No, it's right there on Geary and Fillmore.
Or is that the original Fillmore was on Van Ness?
I mean...
I forget the history.
Okay. Okay, the Winterland was an ice skating rink and music venue located at the corner of Post and Steiner.
Oh, close.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, that closed. The people died there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was converted to exclusive as a music in 71. But, I mean, it's basically, it's right there. It's the same. It's, you know, Japantown, basically, which is now.
It's like my favorite venue right now, Great American Music Hall and the Independent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just saw, I'll save that for after the show. Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah, that was great. That's funny. I was wondering how long it would take us to get off of the Beatles. But I think we did it. I think we're just go and watch it.
Yeah.
Basically just go and watch it.
Commit your hours of COVID you spend watching regurgitated shit and watch something with depth.
It's so crazy, man. The whole time the whole first episode I just felt so guilty watching it. Like, there shouldn't be fucking cameras here. There should not be cameras here. Like, leave them alone.
It was very leave them alone. That was total silence for me.
It's just people milling around, and you know, the director Michael Lindsay Hogg is like, "Oh, we should go to Syria and all this." And then Paul keeps saying, "Like, we're not going to Syria. We're not doing the outdoor amphitheater.
Shut the fuck up.
Shut up. We're the Beatles. We do whatever we want." And he keeps trying to talk about it.
And I love who. How about a pot of tea? Go shut the fuck up. Bring me a pot of tea. I love that.
It's crazy. All right, I'm going to keep talking about it, but just one quick. When Billy Preston comes in, just sort of like off the blue, like, or out of the blue.
They do drop some gems.
Dude, I mean, what a shot in the arm. Dude. He's what they needed. He comes in, boom, they're a band again. You know, because before that, there was just bickering, the scheduling, blah, blah, blah. They're just surrounded by a yes men and... You know,
it's so thick,
it's amazing
in that room.
Yeah,
the Pink Panther walks out.
Yeah, Peter Sellers. Yeah,
Peter Sellers. He walks in,
he's kind of like, this is kind of weird.
I gotta go.
Dude, John basically essentially tells him he's doing heroin. Like, how crazy is that?
Jesus.
It's like lightly veiled. It's so weird.
I love it.
So cool.
The
but
new
Peter Sellers,
English nuance.
Yeah, it's insane. It's crazy.
I adore the way they talk.
Yeah. So really, you can thank Billy Preston, because otherwise there would probably not be an album, or at least it wouldn't have come out then. And you know, they didn't know, and we didn't know at the time, but that was their last performance together. Really crazy stuff. Just go and watch that movie.
Same song, Walk to Your Door, or the Long and Winding Road.
Yeah.
Play that.
No.
I want to hear that.
No.
Come on.
That's like the one song that I really don't like for some reason.
Really? Really, because watching someone play it live in piano kind of like changed my mind about who I was on a date with.
I was going to say,
you realize you're not worth.
There's the scene dinner. where John and Paul are playing Two of Us, and they don't break eye contact. They're just sitting right in front of each other. They're both playing the song Two of Us, which I think was written for Paul and Linda, but you know, you could tell it's also very poignant between Paul and John, and George is sort of just sitting there kind of like, all right, you know, guys, get a room.
Yeah.
But that scene is so intimate that it's just like, it's really like, I kind of like stop disliking Paul for like a few seconds there, because it's,
I respect Paul immensely.
You see that song come
to fruition. As a songwriter. Yeah.
When they get those harmonies, it's just, it's incredible.
No one makes a melody in their head like Paul.
Since we've already been flagged, I'm sure, for playing the Beatles.
Just do it again.
All right, Two of Us.
Yeah.
Harmonies, man. I love it. It's like vintage Beatles harmonies, and you see John just hitting it. He's like, oh, okay, I know what you're doing here.
And you hear Ringo just keep him on beat.
Yeah.
Come on, boys, keep up.
Good luck getting this song out of your head for the next week and a half.
Yeah. It's very on the road. I mean, in the words alone, Tom.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Their songs are always about a journey. They're always on a journey together. They're brothers.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's literally the soundtrack to a big part of my childhood.
Exactly. I think, you know, probably everybody listening too. But if not, and you never really knew when or how to step into the Beatles, step into them backwards.
Yeah.
Start here. Because you get a little bit of everything here. Like, this sounds like a very old Beatles song. And then there's like this part, little breakdown part. That is like new Beatles.
Yeah.
And then it goes back to da 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 da, you know, like very I Want to Hold Your Hand-ish.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is still a hot jam, and it's still a great song. You know?
That's why I love their transitions in their songs, because one song turns into another with the movements.
They have some
very
of the best transitions. They have maybe the best transitions in music history. It's really hard to... In pop music.
A local band named Dredge.
Dredge.
And, I want to say an East Coast hardcore band, Glassjaw.
Oh, yeah.
Great transitions. Oh, yeah.
Great stuff. All right, now we're done. Now we're done with the Beatles. I'm sorry, it only took an hour. And I'm sure this whole episode is flagged and we'll never...
never see the light
never broadcast again. Well, that too. So you might not even be listening to this. This might all be for naught. Now, speaking of soundtracks, I'm telling you, man, I saw the new Edgar Wright movie recently, Last Night in Soho, which is great. Awesome. It's actually my first movie in theaters in over a year, which,
really?
You know, for me is crazy. I used to go at least like almost every week, you know. I'm a bit obsessed, and so it was kind of weird, you know. But it was great. It was amazing. It wasn't weird at all once I was in there. It was just, I don't know. I'm so used to just, I don't know, I'm working. I don't know. It's a long story. But anyway, great movie. Edgar Wright, awesome. You know, one of my favorite directors right now.
Okay. All right. But it's watched Spider-Man tonight. Amazing.
Okay.
Go watch that. Laugh, cry, cheer.
It made me... Last Night in Soho, it's set in the, like, 60s, right? So it's, like, very 60s pop, Kinks, all that stuff, whatever. But it made me think of Django. You know, this and I was thinking of
Django Reinhardt.
No. It's a
the D is
British
silent?
Band. Yeah. British band. Anyway,
Django.
Yeah.
Okay.
They've been around for a little while, but there's a song on their newest album called Glowing in the Dark. And I don't know, I was just thinking about them, and then actually our mutual friend, the Kiz, sent me a list of stuff that he's been listening to.
Magpie.
And this song wasn't on there, but it and then I saw that movie and it was just sort of like, you know, oh man.
I call him Magpie.
I'm sure he likes that. This is called Waking Up by Django and Charlotte Gainsbourg. Yeah. Very sexy.
Waking up to the fact we'll never come back, our home is the open road. Waking up to the fact we'll never come back.
clear, this is not on the Last Night in Soho's movie. It just made me think of it. Yeah. But yeah, this album came out earlier this year, 2021.
It's good.
It sounds, it's a very vintage sort of sound, but not in a cheeky way, I don't think.
It's a little Canadian.
Interesting. Well, God Save the Queen.
Right? Well, they sound like that band they went to go see, Shoreline.
Arcade Fire?
Yeah.
It's like a little more lo-fi. It's like a lo-fi.
Arcade Fire?
I don't know who you saw. Sure, I'm assuming so.
The one with...
It's like 28 people in the band.
Yeah, it's Arcade Fire.
It's like a lo-fi Arcade Fire, kind of.
It's good.
Yeah, it's just different. And
I'm still listening.
I hadn't thought about it in a while. Yeah. Again, trying not to get that stuck in your head.
It's wormy.
Not exactly soundtrack music, but I, you know.
No, it is. I just saw Sofia Coppola's new movie.
Ooh.
Sofia Coppola is known for having some of the best soundtracks.
I was going to say Air and Virgin Suicides. I mean, you know,
the whole soundtrack to Lost in Translation.
Oh, yeah.
Marie Antoinette was basically a musical without the character singing.
Yeah, she's always has good taste.
She does. I mean, she's a little bit older than us, has a little more experience.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's her new movie? I didn't know she had a new movie
yet. I forgot.
All right, well.
I watched it. It was good. It was very good.
Yeah, I'll say anything she does. She does good stuff. I might have missed, she did something, the Bling Ring. I don't think I ever saw that, but.
That was good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it.
Oh, you know what? I just saw On the Rocks. That was, is that the one? That came out last year, though.
What was that about?
And Rashida Jones.
Yeah, Rashida Jones. Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
Smoking. No, not it should do it for you?
She's got a really pretty face, but she never shows her midriff. I wonder why. You ever notice that?
You know, I think I have the same attraction to her that I have for, like, Nora Jones, because I think I'm just attracted to their fathers.
Long live Robbie.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Shankar.
Yeah.
Great, aka full circle, taught George how to play sitar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow, man.
Oh, yeah.
You just can't get away from the Beatles or something. Just can't do it.
It's just going to keep coming back and back.
I want to talk a little bit more about cultural appropriation.
Always a fun subject. No,
cultural acceptance.
It's a better way of putting it.
In the music industry. I struggle with this idea because it's hard to talk about without getting flagged and losing listeners and gaining listeners. No, this is serious. but you know me. I love Bay Area hip hop. I fucking love it, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I love hardcore rap. I love pop.
Sure.
You know? Unfortunately, until recently in hip-hop pop culture, being openly gay and a rapper isn't really liked.
No. Not
it's a cultural thing.
Sure.
I think. You can't come off being a part of something raw, urban, and hard, and at the same time hold down being what people frown upon gay.
Effeminate.
Yeah. Soft. What's the new kid that just like talk shit and I'll suck your dick? What's
Lil Nas X.
Yeah, Lil Nas X. Mm-hmm. Love that guy. Music, well, it's okay.
You remember Lil B from East Bay? He had a whole track called "I'm Gay." I don't think he was, but he was doing it to be like, you know, come on, you know, like,
yeah.
Who cares?
He was being like Tekashi 6ix9ine.
I love that. Yeah, I love Lil B. And then like, there's a famous video of DMX. Somebody shows him that song. He's like, what? He gets all pissed. He's like, Lil B, little bitch. He gets all like super pissed. You know, it's so because you're right. It's not in the culture.
Yeah.
And when somebody tries to break it, there's going to be a lot of pushback. And, you know?
So this whole Lil Nas X thing about, you know, him being pregnant in a video and like.
It's awesome.
He's essentially the Pied Piper of white America and the youth, you know, singing They owe him reprimands and dues, bro. And he's singing music, leading their children away from the village of safety.
Well, that's, I think, why a lot of people got pissed, because a lot of the kids love it. Piper, dude.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And he's not returning your kids till you pay your reprimands.
But you gotta be careful. Without the sexual undertones. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Okay. Conceptually, the loyal listener, he's getting back his 40 acres of a mule. Oh, that's a hard. It's a hard subject. I will get flagged. I have been flagged. I've lost friends because of the shit that I say.
I know. And, we all know. We know. I mean, I know you're joking.
Yeah.
Or at least I know you. It's all coming from a place of love.
Yeah, it's me not being able to vocalize what I really mean properly, because I'm mildly retarded.
That's now you're flagged again.
Yeah. There you go. Well, it's actually a disease, so thank you. But I remember loving this song by Rich Gang featuring Young Thug, who wore heels and carried around purple purses.
Yeah.
And quote unquote said, "I know I can't, I don't want to fuck your pussy, but I'll keep it wet." On this track called Lifestyle. So, before Lil Nas X, there was Young Thug. Where is he now? I don't know. But here's that track.
Rich gang, fucked up, baby. Got like 4 ounces in the 20, bitch. I done did a lot of shit, just live this here lifestyle. They came straight from the bottom to the top of my lifestyle. Nigga living life like a beginning, this is only the beginning. Nigga, I'm on the top of the mountain, puffing on clouds, and nigga still beginning. I won't do nothing with the bitch, she can't even get me hot. Something wrong with the pussy. What? Even though I ain't gonna hit it, I'ma still make sure that she does shit. Cause what? Me and my Riley don't get caught up like that, no way. We ain't got time to go see doctors. Jay, woo! Hey, it's that money. Money, put my paper up on the bitches yawning. Why? Hey, this is show, bitch, you're performing. I do this shit for my daughters and all my sons, bitch. Woo. I'm on the random bands up, take out they funds, bitch. I got a mom's bitch. What? She got a mom's bitch. I got sisters and brothers to feed. I ain't gone, not like no idiot. I'm a OG. I done did a lot of shit, just live this here lifestyle. Now came straight from the bottom to the top of my lifestyle. Just live this here lifestyle. Came straight from the bottom to the top of my lifestyle.
I mean, this predates mumble rap. And he got nearly found out. Like, wait, what did he say? I'm going to keep it gushy, but I'm not going to fucking fuck. You know what I mean? It's like, wait, oh, he's gay. No, he's not allowed in. But he's better than most of the rappers out now. You know what I mean? And every time I hear this song, I still play it loud.
Song hits.
It hits. Yeah. It hits hard, dude. Yeah. I mean, come on.
It's great. I love that.
Yeah.
I love the subversive.
For me, he could have been the new Prince.
Really?
Yeah.
Except for Prince shreds.
Prince is a virtuoso.
Prince, they broke the mold, Prince.
Yeah, he broke Clapton on stage alive. Fuck Clapton.
Oh, I was going to say, Prince could hold with anybody.
You've seen that, right?
No.
You see the video where Clapton, rest in peace, what's his name?
Guitarist? Bassist?
The one, Free Fallin'?
Tom Petty.
Tom Petty. There was like seven other virtuosos behind him. And Prince goes on stage and shits on all of them. Takes his shirt off.
Is that like some rock and roll Hall of Fame or something? Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Does Michael Jackson dancing? Does Prince dancing? Plays his guitar, and they all look at him like, "Fuck,
we can't do that.
We can't do that.
I can't compete."
And he literally just walks away.
And he's like very, you know, he's not like a big dude by any means, but he has such a big presence.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you just see, what's his name again?
Tom Petty.
Tom Petty. He's thankful that he's high as shit. He's just like, I'm just glad I'm fucking high right now, dude. It's so funny. I love that scene. And Eric Clapton looks over and looks at his own hands, his own guitar, and he's like, fuck, I'm boring.
He's like, my hands, my feet, my legs can't do any of this.
Can't do any of that. It's so funny. And the motherfucker's Jehovah's Witness.
What?
Prince.
Really?
He would go door to door in Minnesota. No way. Really? He's a Minnesotan Jehovah's Witness. Look it up. Prince. I love Prince. All of his money. Where did it go? Jehovah's Witness.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a down for the cause.
Hey, man. Shit. True faith. Fentanyl. Don't do it.
Well, a lot of times you don't know you're doing it. You know? Yeah. That's the problem nowadays.
Dude.
He and Michael were the...
deaths.
The originals.
Just died, right?
The originals, man.
Do you know who just died?
Who?
Vicente Fernandez.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Fuck, bro. Yeah.
Sorry.
Dude.
R.I.P.
If I could cheat.
Fentanyl? No, he was old.
No, he just died. Yeah. Cancer and whatnot.
Yeah.
Or old age. Or
yeah.
Just big Mexican.
El Chingon.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it, bro. Guadalajara. Play that. I don't have it queued up because I just can't do it.
What do you.
The song Guadalajara, yeah. Oh, man. National anthem. If you ask me, when he died, a lot of grown men on coke died, cried.
Oh, I'm sure, of course, they're still crying.
Nancy Serker, this is for your dad, Muhammad. He loved this song. Guadalajara, Guadalajara. Tienes el alma de provinciana, hueles a limpio, rosa temprana. A ver de cara fresca del río, son mis palomas tu caserío. Guadalajara, Guadalajara, sabes a pura tierra mojada. All respect to all Mexicans out there, all Central Americans, but we gotta play the Elvis version. I didn't know this existed.
I just discovered that there's an Elvis version live from Acapulco.
Of course there is. You know what? Fuck that. I love Elvis too.
Well, Vicente Fernandez inspired and influenced even the king himself, Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Should we do a little side-by-side here?
Dude, let's do it. Let's just see who did it better? Jesus.
It's the Elvis Presley
with
version.
She is. Fuck yeah, dude. I knew he was on coke.
This is turning into a react video podcast. Guadalajara, Guadalajara. Guadalajara, Guadalajara. Tienes el alma deep fresciana, hueles a limpia rosa temprana. Abre cari fresco del río, same palomas, tu casario, Guadalajara, Guadalajara, sapi sapura tiar mojara. Whoa,
dude.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
The king, bro. The king. You know what? Who do you think was sitting at? Who's standing at the top of the staircase of the pearly gates, opening the door for Vicente Fernandez?
I'm speechless. It's good.
Yeah.
Wow. This is amazing.
Yeah.
Wow, the king. The king for a reason. I had no idea.
He's got a real ass mariachi band in the back.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's a very clean studio band.
He's got a very good, like, Mexican voice, or you know, not
you can hear the
baritone is so natural.
You can hear his accent, his American accent.
Yeah,
but it's a very well toned accent.
He's hitting the words. Oh. Wow, Elvis, we hardly knew ye. Wow, I didn't want to cut Vicente short, so I'll cut both of them short. How about that?
You know, not a lot of people know where the term gringo comes from.
Lay it on me.
Green beret, go home.
That true?
I don't know. You tell me.
I think
someone that lived that era told me that's what it was. But hey, I take it as fact.
I think
they lived it. It's a fact.
All right.
Quote unquote, the Matrix, bro.
Oh, the premiere was last night.
Yeah, here. San Francisco.
Castro Theater's back, baby. Go support your local theaters.
Yes.
Well, that's funny. I was going to play a little.
I wonder who's on the soundtrack.
That's a good question.
I haven't looked into the movie because I don't want to spoil it, but right. 10 to 1 odds. It's going to be from Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah. Okay. Trent Reznor and Atticus.
Yeah. And it might even be the guy you look like.
Mike Patton.
Mike Patton.
My
from,
doppelganger.
Yeah.
For those of you who want to get a good look at the. What's my name? Ignatius Palafox.
Ignatius Palafox. He's Mike Patton.
Just Google Mike Patton, I guess. So I've been told. It's
one of the greatest bands out of San Francisco.
Sure.
Faith No More.
Jesus, yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, straight I can't deny it.
Straight out of Frisco, because yes, you do and can say Frisco on a socioeconomic level. Thank you. Fucking people. Don't get flagged.
Frisco's fine. I don't like San Fran, because only out-of-towners say San Fran.
You
know, that's the weird thing.
Okay.
You, I know, for me, you're, at least you're in brown, my experience.
You're brown, so you can say this. You have a dog in the fight.
Okay.
But if you're 100% white, and you start talking about what you can and call,
that's
can
true.
And can't that's call
I'm not
the
saying
city
you can't.
Of debauchery.
I'm not saying you can't. I'm just
you're
saying.
Going up against people from inner city to say you can and you better.
Yeah, fair enough.
Or you don't get a you don't get a hood pass. You're gonna want that hood pass in the TL.
I need it. Please don't. Please don't throw out my hood pass.
I wanna play something that's been I play when I have the blues, but this isn't gonna be moody anymore. My two favorite kind of, I guess. So there are guitar bands, and then there's other guitar bands. So cello, bows, and guitars are Sigur Rós.
Ooh.
Four guitarists battling for lead, playing with weird pedals and keyboards string through a mixer, and you have Mogwai.
Ooh.
Put those two together, what do you get? L U V. Love Story. This I love. And I'll tell you why. Because nowadays, a 7-minute track will not survive.
Hasn't ever really been able to.
It's hard. These two bands are known for transition in a track. Especially Mogwai. Soft to hard. Hard to listen to sometimes. Sigur Rós. One track, one album.
Yeah.
Bands like Godspeed You, Black Emperor.
Right.
One track, one album. You know, things like that. It's an art piece. It's literally an art piece you ingest through your ears.
As a whole, not just pick and choose track 7 or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very ethereal.
Yeah. You want to change your life? Listen to Mogwai's EP plus 6, EP plus 2. You know. I had to dip my toe back into this because, you know, it's going to lead to further conversation about other artists that are still producing and putting out albums, but you don't listen to them or think you do, but they're on soundtracks.
Yeah.
You know, like Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, yeah.
And what's his name?
Trent Reznor.
Trent Reznor and
Johnny
you.
Johnny Greenwood.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Johnny Greenwood, the guitarist for Radiohead.
Yeah, he did There Will Be Blood. He's done a
dude,
bunch of movies.
Dude,
yeah.
There Will Be Blood soundtrack alone.
Yeah, great stuff.
Without him, there is no suspense.
Oh yeah, the build up too. Yeah, a lot of time that's all it is. All suspense is build up.
Yeah,
anticipation, and you can convert that with music. It's powerful.
I mean, raise your hand when you cried when Ennio Morricone died.
Oh man, well we did a nice tribute.
Yeah,
sort of a dirgy episode.
Yeah, that was a sad course. Episode. It was good though.
That's great. And that's what I'm. Well, I don't want to take it the complete 180, but speaking of soundtracks, there's one song that has been in my head, I shit you not, since October when I listen. I watch exclusively horror movies. That's just a tradition I've been doing.
Yes.
I'm not the biggest horror movie fan. I never really have been. But I appreciate good ones, obviously.
Yes.
And modern horror movies tend to just leave me cold. I don't know if it's because we grew up in the 80s or whatever, but it's like I love those.
I've been delving into new.
But there are some good new ones. So, but anyway, there's the movie called You're Next.
Did you
see this movie?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Great, really good modern horror. I mean, it's horror, it's slasher, it's, you know, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, it's about 10 years old now, I think. But I had never seen it.
Dude.
And there's a song in that movie that almost plays on repeat. And it's literally been in my head for 3 months. And I just need to get it out. And I figured the only way to do that would be to purge. And by putting it on you guys, a la The Ring or It Follows kind of style. It's called Looking for the Magic. Which, and it's actually a great song, too. It's just, it's funky. It's Dwight Twilley Band from the 70s. Okay. And I've since looked for, you know, I've listened to like a lot of their albums and the songs are okay, but this song just bumps. And it's, I hate to, again, take away from, you know, the mood that was just set, but I'm just going to shatter that right now. I'm going to make you ingest this. All right. Looking for the Magic, Dwight Twilley Band.
Oh, mercy.
Slide, the guitar riff, the harmonies, the tempo, everything. It's amazing.
It's great because it's totally reminiscent of the scene where those kids get killed in the Zodiac to a
montage kind of scene.
No, to what's his name?
Donovan. Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch, yeah.
But you're right. For a horror movie, it's brilliant. It's
brilliant.
Because it's so, like, sort of upbeat.
Because you're like a rat in a maze, a mouse in a cage. You can't escape, and your fate is sealed. Set to a soundtrack.
It's a hot jam. It's a great song. It's so funny, man. I'd honestly never heard that song before. And in the movie, it plays, like, you know, throughout the entire movie. And now it's probably going to be in my head for another few months, but either way, maybe not. Maybe I just purged it. I love it. And that's a great movie, by the way. I was blown away at, I mean, the inventiveness of the gore and the death scenes, which is kind of hard to do nowadays, to pull off something you've never really seen, you know. Really good stuff. Yeah.
I forgot what that movie was about.
Yeah, I'm not even going to tell you. Just go watch it.
And I've seen it. You're next.
Yeah. It's very underrated. I know it's not Halloween anymore, but...
it's always Halloween.
It's always Halloween.
As a matter of fact, I did a... Did I do Gallo Dance?
What is that?
Last song.
Which one?
Or last Gallo Dance?
Yeah.
I did that?
Yeah.
Okay. That was my Happy Halloween track.
Yeah.
Or more like Happy Samhain.
That's right, yeah, because we were approaching Halloween on the last one, but I haven't really found another one of their tracks that are that good, but I love the reverb, the extreme slapback reverb on the vocals. It almost reminds me of, like, Lindsey Buckingham a little bit. Just great stuff. I really like it. It's, I don't know, but... Okay, so what were the... Can you think of your favorite movies that you've seen this year, new or old, since we're wrapping up the year? You know, I know a lot of people think about the songs and the artists, and Spotify does that, actually. But I was thinking of movies of the year. Or can you even think of the top few movies that you've seen this year? New or
old? Shit. Let's see. As of last night, it's probably the new Spider-Man. dude, I just rewatch. It's not fair because I rewatch a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack to this really... It put me in a different place. It kind of reminded me of an artist we kind of all forgot electronically and kind of would like to forget. Because he was pretty big locally, even played with one of my favorite hardcore, silly punk bands, Flipper.
Hmm.
And he sang with them for, I think, a little bit of a local tour. Because the lead singer suffered an injury. Moby.
Ah. The Beach?
Yeah.
Is that the movie?
No.
Oh.
But this is one of Moby's tracks. And Moby's in every fucking soundtrack. You can remember from, like, the 2008.
Yeah, mid-late 90s to the early 2000s.
So this is The Last Day by Moby.
Look beyond.
had it. That's essentially the soundtrack to every heist movie you've ever seen.
I was thinking Go. You remember that movie?
Yeah. Oh, Go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's like one of the greatest tracks ever to come out of No Doubt. Or No Doubt, however you want to pronounce it. It's depending where you're from. No, dude, Moby gets shit on a lot, man.
Yeah.
In music documentaries, in the industry, in basic taste of music. And it's because of what he looks like and the shit that he said. But for me, he's top three. One of the greatest MTV Cribs episodes of all time. It's a little jab. I love Moby. I love Moby. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he was just kind of always there.
Yeah.
I never bought a Moby album.
But dude, Moby's the godfather of a lot of the sounds we hear now, man.
You kind of take it for granted.
You do take Moby. If there was no Moby, music would be a little unlistenable, too.
Interesting. Is he like the modern... it's a huge compliment. Is he like a millennium Brian Eno?
Yes. I can take that to the grave.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I'll tell you that.
Kind of look the same too.
Coin here. Yeah, okay.
That's kind of a huge compliment to Moby, maybe a slight diss to Brian Eno. But for us, for the millennium, for the new millennium, I should say. Right.
Yeah.
I don't know. It brings me back. I feel like I'm listening or I'm watching a Alicia Silverstone movie or something post Clueless, you know. I feel like I'm watching something from the Dawson's Creek era.
Yeah. Dude, new era stuff is not disappointing.
What, electronic music? Or
no.
What do you mean?
The guy that plays my dobro, Marcus King.
Yeah.
Have you heard this guy? Oops. Marcus King. This is a new face, a new voice, and he's young as fuck. Came across him in one of my YouTube holes where I let a genre play. I was listening to a lot of new country, new blues, and this guy pops up, and I'm like, who the fuck is this? And I look at him, and the motherfucker's on YouTube live, and he's playing one of the best songs I hear all year called No Pain.
No Pain by
Marcus King.
Lay it on me.
Two. Hey.
Pull out of the track.
Wow.
But he did deserve to be heard in his live format.
Yeah, that's great.
He's playing a dobro, staying. He's not just staying in tune. He is the tune.
He's got a great voice, man. He's got a great sound.
Motherfucker looks 20.
Yeah, he looks like a kid.
He looks 14 with a puta mouth. You know what I mean? Dude, fucking kid, man. A white kid. That's a white kid. Marcus King, look him up. He's going to blow up huge if he isn't already. I don't know.
That's crazy. Yeah, the song's about
he's like, already huge. Falling off the wagon. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. For sure he sells out.
Yeah, he's legit.
I know nothing about him. But, yeah. I mean, even his intro speech, he sounds like that. Why? Because he's fucking lived that.
Yeah, he's from South Carolina or whatever, right? That's pretty good. He's got a hot guitar, too. I think it's sexy.
Dobro. That's my guitar.
I always wanted that.
That's my fucking guitar. I
could never afford that.
The motherfucker didn't want to sell it to me. The music guy. I'm like, give me the guitar, dude.
What?
And you know what happened? The music store shut down and the guitar's gone.
No. You should have went in there before they shut down.
I didn't know. Who knows?
Can you play? Your fingers aren't as swollen anymore?
I can't play. My left hand, yeah, my right hand is stubborn. I tried the other day. I can tune.
Tune, okay.
I've forgotten most of... It's the rhythm's hard, you know.
Well, you got to have the rhythm to begin with. So
you got to, you know, my left toe is doing good.
Well, I was going to play a band that I've been meaning to play for many episodes here now, and it just never, I don't think we ever actually have, from Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
Okay.
Yeah. They've been around for a while. I think they started off in New Zealand. And,
was it like a Viking fucking...
No, I didn't say Denmark.
Oh, they burn churches in New Zealand?
No, they're eating lamb chops and, you know, not having COVID, I guess. Oh, we just got flagged. They live in, I think, Oregon now or whatever. They're on Jag Jaguar Records. They've had about 5 full albums, I think, but they just came out with a couple new EPs. And I wanted to play one.
Okay.
Called That Life. It's a really very, you know, on brand for Ignatius Palafox and, you know, the sort of mournful, soulful, I don't know, R&B, rock. Let's just get into it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That Life, Unknown Mortal Orchestra.
Call the police, and here we go. Oh. not so hydrodynamic. Need some electrolyte. Boy, I'm top man, all in the home. Cherry chill love now. So far away from the nearest jaguar. Who's gonna eat them all? All day swimming under the palm trees. Look delicate, gracefully sway. Some kind of gin drink, some kind of jewelry, some kind of fancy machine. Why is it always crying, quarreling, filtering through the malaise? I can hear someone running the mouth and the neighbors will call the police. And here we go, oh, 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 that life.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't deny it.
It creates an image. Of what I couldn't tell you, but it creates an image. I mean, it's progressive. It's prog.
Yeah, it's modern though.
Yeah,
but it's familiar.
I think we're coming away from a lot of like the young past 5 to 7 years of influence, and getting into a you know. I don't want to say rehash, but a recircling to the basics of what
everything
we love.
Everything comes back, right? Yeah,
everything comes back.
You think of like the early 2000s with the Strokes and the White Stripes. And
yeah,
the
Garage.
Eyes, right? Yeah, that sort of that simple sound. All reverb
simple
and grungy,
sound.
But poppy. It all comes around. But what is this then, though?
The long and winding road, bro. That's what that is.
No, but I mean, like, what is this a callback to? Because we played Still Woozy.
It's callback
to. I don't know if it was last time, but the time before. It's
yeah.
kind of similar.
It's the way back home. And, like, what do we all, you know, it's the holidays, too. Happy holidays, by the way, from Ghost Spark. You know, what do you revert back into? You suffer a lot of loss, you know. You, especially men, I think people don't realize this, but they're talking about it now, is men suffer in silence. You know, they're not allowed to. I grew up, if you cry, you're a faggot. You know, if you don't hit back, you're a bitch. You throw. Like a girl. You know what I mean? You're not allowed to be you.
Yeah.
And women are shit on because if you don't fit within the confines of this, you're slut shamed. You're, you know.
Too emotional.
You're a dyke.
Yeah.
You're too emotional, irrational. You need to get a hysterectomy because you're being hysterical.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's where
you
it comes
know what
from.
I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, where do you fall back to? It's just music, movies, books,
we're all
home,
equal in the music.
So. Your other place, second life, non-fungible tokens.
Uh-oh. Was this all a scheme to get us into your
it's
new
pyramid scheme.
Keith Raniere pyramid scheme?
You know, and I think back and I'm like, what made me comfortable as a kid is staying up all night watching movies, listening to music, and being home, you know. And fortunately this year, I was able, because of near-death experiences and shit, I was able to sit by force and think, what's your next step? And my next step was going home. Touching base with old friends. Making new friends. Worrying about my health. Watching my movies. Working from a fixed site, bicycle in front of my TV. And I hear soundtracks and you asked me what my favorite movie was of the year.
Yeah.
And it's shit on Netflix. I love it. They're producing great shit.
Shows or movies?
Shows, movies, okay. Everything. Yeah, sure. I watched the sequel to Moon.
What the?
It's
the one with Sam Rockwell
by Duncan Jones. Did another movie right after.
That movie was great.
Called Mute.
Really?
And you see Sam Rockwell in court in the background. What? On TV.
Whoa.
Defending his case. But it has nothing to do. It's in the same universe.
Interesting.
And the soundtrack's okay. It's done by Duncan Jones, Zoe Bowie, David Bowie's son. And it's a really heavy movie. It's really good.
Interesting. I reckon
it's just made by Netflix, by Duncan Jones.
Okay. Right. It's old, though? Or?
It's newish. Oh, okay. 2 years of beginning of COVID.
Oh, okay, I gotcha. I was blown away by a movie I'd never even heard of before. Were you going to play something from that?
No.
Oh, okay. Because I got a little something that is, I know, near and dear to your heart. And I'll explain it to you. I'll see if you can figure it out. But there's a movie called Sorcerer. Have you seen this movie?
Oh, yeah.
The William Friedkin movie from like 77?
Yeah.
Holy shit. With Roy Scheider and... Oh, my God.
I was just watching a list of fantasy movies.
No, it's not a fantasy movie.
No, this is... Okay. The other night, I was watching Lady Hawk.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Lady Hawk.
Hudson Hawk?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, Hudson Hawk's something different.
Bruce Willis?
Yeah. That's Bruce Willis stealing Da Vinci. Lady Hawk is a Ferris Bueller learning how to be a wizard. And the hawk is actually... I'm not going to spoil it for you.
Okay.
Rutger Hauer.
Okay. Yeah. Michelle Pfeiffer?
Shut up. No, she's not in the movie. Don't spoil it.
All right. No, okay, so this is Sorcerer from, I believe, 77. William Friedkin, the director of The Exorcist.
Yeah.
Amazing. I had never seen this movie. It's like easily one of the best movies I've seen all year. It's amazing. Roy Scheider, Bruder Kremer. It's basically just about these guys that had to escape their lives for one way or the other from different parts of the world, find themselves in the jungles of South America, and essentially get paid to transport this nitroglycerin through the jungle.
Yeah.
It's an insane, it's basically a suicide mission, but...
I have not seen this.
Dude, it's incredible.
Something else, yeah.
But the... It's so just tense and taut. And
it's a period piece.
No, not really. No. And actually, not at all. No.
Is it new?
No, 77. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know how this movie wasn't bigger than it was. I was listening to a podcast with Quentin Tarantino months ago, and he was talking about this is like one of his favorite movies of all time. And I was like, what is that movie? Like, how have I never seen this movie? Anyway, I watched it. It's phenomenal. Go watch it. But
what platform?
I don't know, Amazon or something. I don't know.
Okay.
Or iTunes, I forget.
Probably Amazon Prime.
Whatever it is, pay the $2.99. Just rent the movie. I guarantee you will be happy. But it is, and I was wondering, I was like, wow, why is the soundtrack so good? And at the end, I realized it's Tangerine Dream.
Yeah, legend.
Legend, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I knew you'd be into that, so... Tangerine Dream.
Why I know this because I've listened to this soundtrack.
Okay, yeah.
Because I have Tangerine Dream's entire catalog.
It's called Sorcerer, so I thought it was gonna be like some weird fantasy movie, but it's not. But anyway, yeah.
It's actually on my computer.
So their work on this movie was the impetus for their entire career working in films, which is essentially the soundtrack of all like the 80s films that you know and love.
Yeah.
Right. That they from like Firestarter.
Oh yeah.
Thief.
Yeah.
Legend, obviously, which is, I think, your favorite movie, Near Dark, Catherine Bigelow's. Well, it's not her first movie. It's like
that's why I said fantasy, because The Sorcerer.
Yeah.
Legend's my favorite fantasy film shot
by
my favorite director, Ridley Scott.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is pretty crazy. Actually, so they do Near Dark, which I don't know if you've... It's Catherine Bigelow. She did The Hurt Locker.
Yeah,
and,
James Cameron's ex-wife. Yeah.
So actually, for Near Dark... James Cameron, they weren't married yet, but they were going out or whatever. So he offered up essentially the entire cast of Aliens, because, you know, yeah, he directed the sequel. So in that movie, in, you know, Near Dark, you got Lance Hendrickson, Bill Paxton.
Ridley Scott directed the sequel.
No, he directed the original.
And the sequel.
No, Aliens is James Cameron.
No, James Cameron's the third one. Resurrection. You might want to look that up.
should I double check that right now?
Or did Ridley Scott only do the first? I think he did the first two.
No, I think he did.
Did he produce the second one?
He did the Prometheus one, right?
He did Prometheus, yeah, cover. That's why
James Cameron. Aliens. Okay. Right. Yeah, the sequel, yeah, Aliens. Right. Yeah.
You're right, because it's got more of a military motif.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah. So, but anyway, this is
Avatar part, yeah, prequel. Yeah.
This is from the Sorcerer soundtrack, Tangerine Dream. I figured you would be into this. But it's also, you know, if you've watched Stranger Things or any of these new sort of nouveau
80s. The cold piano, yeah, the cold organ.
Yeah, and the Moog, and, you know, just, okay. So anyway, this is Betrayal, the Sorcerer theme. Sorcerer.
Yeah,
Risky Business, which, yep, they did, you know, same thing.
And what my quote was, where Christine is on the highway running down the bully, and then when Christine rolls over and he's on fire, and literally this music is playing, or something, so sounds,
yeah,
just,
yeah,
like
something very similar.
Yeah,
I know you're a big Tangerine Dream head.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge. Well, they were put, so Ridley Scott hates America. I'll tell you why.
Is that the title, you, of the episode?
You know, it should be. So, Ridley Scott has his crack shot crew of cinematographers, soundtrack, the way he cuts, edits, everything. Everything.
Yeah. You know, most everything great directors do. Yeah.
But they wouldn't let him bring them here for production to film Legend, and he was pissed.
Union stuff?
That, exactly. Union shit. And in England, he had his own release of Legend with a different soundtrack, because bringing it over to America in post, they realized that it wasn't rock and roll enough. So they added Tangerine Dream to it to make it more upbeat and approachable to what was happening then. So they brought in Tangerine Dream.
Sort of bridges the gap from this, like, German, yeah, experimental.
And they put on English band Roxy Music, lead singer Brian Ferry.
Oh yeah, well, Legend, the main song is Brian Ferry and Tangerine Dream.
Right? Yeah, it's,
yeah. You know, that's like one of your favorite songs.
I'm not going to go there.
No, we're not, yeah, going there.
But I will go somewhere very similar. I'm going home with this. I'm dedicating this track to my corny ass dad.
Should we save this for the end?
I think we could do as an outro. Do you have one more?
No, I was going to get to a quick email here.
Because
we had a lot of positive feedback from the last one. And
so okay. Great.
I remember to email us mostlymusicpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on, what, Instagram? I don't know.
Our hashtag.
Automatic.
Mostly music.
Mostly music, yeah. Oh, yeah. We got a bunch, but I got one from Dave T, a.k.a. Uncle Dave. He wrote us a very thoughtful email about recently discovering the show. And for the sake of time, I'll just read the last bit here where he writes about Morrissey and Stephen King. He says, I tried to explain who Morrissey was to someone. I said, putting the back of your hand against your forehead as if your lover has left you yet again, croon a love song about getting hit by a bus. That's Morrissey. Johnny Mars made him 10 times better. That guitar is haunting. And then he says something I think directed at me. He says, Stephen King is not Shakespeare. Because I think we had a hot take last time. He didn't change the English language. He's more like Mark Twain. Keep podcasting. I'm a subscriber. Cheers, Uncle Dave. There we go.
Uncle Dave. Who's that?
We got a new one.
Rich, a new listener.
There we go. So I had a fellow Morrissey obsessive.
There you go.
It's great.
Yeah. Right. Suck it in later.
Keep it coming. You know, let us know. Give us some questions, comments, observations about life in general.
If you personally know me, send me some likes and dislikes, which I usually get. And sometimes I bring it onto the show. And this time, courtesy of a friend of mine saying it also reminds him of my dad and his nuance and his style. Foreigner.
Oh, okay.
Sure. You know what I'm going to play?
No, I don't. I mean, it could be a number of things here.
Oh, it's the only one.
All right. Well, on that, we're going to close this out here.
You could. Better Where know, are we at?
2 hours. No better time than now.
Hey, I want to know what love is. Do you? Because Foreigner's going to tell
you. It's
going
to crush me. From San Francisco, California, I am Ignatius Palafox.
And I am DeLo Spark.
And this?
I Want to Know What Love Is by Foreigner.
I've got to take a little time. A little time to think things over. In case I need it when I'm older. Now this mountain I must climb feels like the world upon my shoulder. But through the clouds I see.